I'll come visit you. All right, we're up to over here. Azinu, we continue where we left off. Okay, some powerful stuff. Okay, we're a little past Revi. We're up to Pasuk. One moment. Revi. Azinu. Okay, here we go. Okay, we're up to, we did Mizera, we are up to Perek. Could you hear me? Or is the sound okay? So make sure we go to it's okay. Blaze the sound. Okay, go to okay. Perek Lamed Beis. Perek Lamed Beis. We are up to Pasuk Chafei. Michutz Teshakel Cherev, outside Teshakel Cherev Umecha Dorim Ema. So now Teshakel is a very nasty word, very, very severe word. Teshakel means death. It means death, okay, and I think it means, we'll hear the Rashi in a second, what kind of death, what kind are we referring to. And then it says over here, umechadorim emo, inside the rooms there is fear. Okay, inside the rooms there is fear. Umechadorim emo, gam bochu gam besulo yonek im ish seva. This applies to a bachur, a young man, a young woman, and a yonek. Yonek is an infant, and im ish seva with a man that is a zaken. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi pasuk chafei. Rashi michus teshakel cheref. Michus teshakel cheref. Michus leir teshaklam cheref gayosais. Outside of the city, the sword. Of the armies, the word gayosis means the armies. It is teshaklam, it brings death upon them. This is an incredible thing when it says. It ties over the word mechadorim. Umechadorim means inside one's mind, inside one's heart. So there's chutz and there's the cheder, the chadorim. The chadorim, if not seeing this Rashi, we would assume it means inside. Okay, there are people that are out in the field, fighting battles on the battlefield, and there are people that are in bunkers, that are in basements, in bomb shelters. So you think michutz, outside on the battle zone, there is death. There are soldiers being killed by the sword. And you would think the pasuk simply means that people that are inside, in bomb shelters and in basements, and in the place of safety, they're overcome with terror. So Rashi does two things. Number one, Rashi says, "Ema" doesn't just mean fear. "Ema" means death. It means the fear is so intense that it causes them to die. The terror of what's going on outside is so intense it causes death. That's number one. Number two, when it says word mechadorim, it does not mean inside. It does not mean inside a bunker or a shelter. It means inside a person's heart, inside a person's mind. Rashi again says mechadorim emo kishaborech v'nimlat menachem. When a person runs away and he escapes the sword, the chadre liboy naikvim alav. The insides of a person's heart bang. The noikev, a person's conscience is beating machmas ema. For who meis v'hoylech ban, it says that he dies from this. Davar zeh mechadorim ema, davar acher. Then Rashi says the second interpretation, which is what I told you originally. Davar acher mechadorim ema, shebabayis. Inside the bayis, there is a dever. Tia emas dever, there is a terror of dever, of a plague. K'mo shenemar ki olam moves b'cha lo inenu, death has come into our windows. V'chein tegim unkelis, we'll see in a moment, dovrach with third interpretation. Michutz teshakel chedev al ma she'osu b'chutzois. Shenemar u'mispar chutzois Yerushalayim samtem mizbechois l'boishas. So michutz means, according to the third interpretation, is that it's not telling you, it's telling you a little bit more. It's telling you the reason why there's going to be death out in the streets is because, or because they erected idols in the street. Every street corner was an avodah zara. That equal to the number of streets of Yerushalayim, did you erect an altar for embarrassment? Did you offer idols? And then when it says, the sins that were done in hiding, the elders of the Jewish people did sins, each person inside of their innermost chambers. A chamber, the word maskisoi, I think it means it was tiled. There were tiles, some type of tiles which prevented people from seeing what they were doing. So sach hakol, we have here a very frightening pasuk, and according to Rashi, Rashi has provided for us three different interpretations of what this means. Over here it's michus, the first interpretation is michus shakal chev, on the battlefield, there's death. And then when it says inside umichadorim ema, it means that people who escape or are not on the battlefield are so terrified of what's going on in the world, they die. They just die from terror. Okay, that's, you know, this is a very relevant topic. They always talk about this in terrorism. I never heard the word terrorism until 9/11. For whoever heard the word terrorism, I never heard. I mean, you know, there's always terrible things going on in the world. You know, there was always hijackings, and there's always, I don't know, bombs, a lot of things, but I don't think I heard that word, that concept. Terrorism, a terrorist. These were like new things to me. Probably every kid today knows these things. Everyone, it's very sad. People grow up in a world where it's, you know, there's always a fear of terror. So we hear it, that's really what it says on the Chadorim. What is terror? The terrorist won. The terrorist won because everywhere you go, you have to watch your back. You go on an airplane. Come on, son, you're afraid. You're afraid. Wherever you go, you're afraid, you're afraid, you're afraid, you're afraid. And this fear has a cumulative effect on the person that they just eventually give away. They give up. Their soul can't take it anymore. And it has an effect on a person's health. That's Rashi's first interpretation. Rashi's second interpretation is mechadorim ema means, it means inside the bias. Outside there is on the battlefield there are people getting killed. Inside, not on the battlefield, but at home there is a fear of a biological weapon. Okay, isn't that what happened during COVID? COVID, no one was killed out in the battlefield. How many millions of people in the world died from COVID? And they were all inside. No one died on a battlefield. People died in hospitals, in basements, at home, in these facilities. Terrible, terrible thing. There's a pachad of a plague. A plague, and the pachad of the plague is not on the battlefield. It's out in closed quarters. The third interpretation, we're selecting words, special words. They are code words in the pasuk. It means people are going to die outside, and they're going to die on the inside. It's going to be ema, and because we have selected certain words of the word umechadorim, and the word michutz, the word chutz is a code word for the chutzos Yerushalayim. And what do we know about the chutzos Yerushalayim in Sefer Yirmiyah? Is that there were idols erected on every street corner. It's hard for us to understand, to comprehend such a thing. Every street corner, there's another mizbeach, another idol. We obviously don't understand what Avodah Zarah is all about, but that's what it says. And likewise, the word, the chadorim, is a code word for a pasuk in Yirmiyah that tells us that inside the inner chambers, in the chadorim, people were worshipping, were doing averos behind closed doors. And therefore, midikanegamida, Kadosh Baruch Hu, outside he brought death, and inside he brought ema. Okay, those are the three interpretations. Now, with that hakdama, with that Rashi, we go back and see, we always say that Rashi wrote a sefer on Targum. So now we go back, what exactly prompted Rashi to say these words? So we look first at the Targum. Targum where it says, mi bara, Libra means outside the word, Bara means like Lashon Vabraisa. You have a Braisa, you have a Mishnah, and a Braisa. What is a Braisa? A Braisa means it's on the outside. It was not incorporated into the Seder HaMishnais. Rabbeinu HaKodesh had access to an enormous collection of teachings, and those that he collected, he brought inside into his work, and those that he rejected, they are on the outside. They're not included, like, no, Havdil Elif Alfa Yavdal is the Apocrypha. What's the Apocrypha? The books that are not included in the, what's the right word? The books are not included in the Bible. Is the word that they're not part of the I forgot what the word is. They're not included in I remember. I always learned as a child that anything that's not included in the in the Chof Dalit Sifrei Tanakh is pure apikorsis. And then I heard Rabbi getting everything already. Famous professor, what's his name? It's on the tip of my tongue. Schneier. What's his name? Schneier. Dr. Schneier Lyman. Is that his name? Schneier Lyman? Lehman?
No. Yeah, Schneier Lyman.
Schneier Lyman. I once heard him give an incredible shiur, and he said it's not so. You look at it, and he knows this stuff. No one knows. Who knows this stuff? No one knows this stuff. He went through some of the books that they have in the New Testament. You know, you're not going to say that. And he said some of those books, and there are other books, other Sfarim, they're not apikorsis. In fact, they're very holy books. It's just that they didn't make the cut. They didn't make the cut. It wasn't written with Ruach HaKodesh, it wasn't written with enough Ruach HaKodesh that it was deserving to be included in the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. And you know what almost didn't make it? Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther just barely got in. What's wrong with Megillas? Nothing's wrong with Megillas Esther. But the Chachamim did not necessarily want to include Megillas Esther in the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. It would have been a very nice villa. What Taka did not get in? Sefer HaMakabi. Okay, Sefer HaMakabi. What's wrong with Sefer HaMakabi? It's a beautiful book. Why isn't one of them? There should be six Megillas. Six Megillas. There's Megillas Esther, and there's, we'll call it Megillas HaMakabim. There are different versions of it. Why did it not become part of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh? So you'll say it was too late. It was 200 years too late. Maybe you'll say that. You know, the Sefer HaMakabim was composed 200 years into the Bayesheni, so it's past the Chasima of the 24 Sifrei Tanakh. However,
Rabbi,
yes.
You're looking for the Apocrypha.
Yeah. No, we said the Apocrypha. No, but the Apocrypha is what's been rejected. And what has not been rejected? What is the part that corresponds to the Apocrypha? The part that has been canonized. That was the word I was looking for. The canon. What is the canon? It's a secular word which means the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. The 24 books of Tanakh is the canon. The Anshei Knesset Gedolah had a tradition. There can be 24 books, like a kala. A kala wears 24 different ornaments. So the canon. So what was eligible to be in the canon? So Rabbi Dr. Schneer Lyman has credible insight into this, and he goes through some of the books, and some books are just plain outright apikorsis. They're just baloney garbage. We're clearly for saying that they really are. And then there are some books that are really they're holy books. They're sacred books. However, they didn't make the cut. They didn't make the cut. They deserved. They were worthy to be included in the canon. And once for example, Sefer Yechezkel. There's a whole Gemara on this. Chazal wanted to not include Sefer Yechezkel in the canon, because in Sefer Yechezkel there are psukim which openly contradict what it says in the Torah. So that's it. There's something wrong here. It can't be included. What happened? They burnt the midnight oil to decipher the deeper meaning of what Yechezkel meant to say. And when they did succeed in deciphering what it really meant, oh, it came back to its chazaka, and it was eligible to be included in the canon. So now how did I get into that? From the word bara. The word bara, it's just a very famous word in Daf Yomi. There's a Mishnah and a Braisa. A Braisa comes from the word bara. Bara means it's on the outside. It is a statement of the rabbis that are outside. Now, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with it. Chas v'shalom. It just means it was not incorporated into the Mishnayos, into the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. Why not? Either because it's not correct, we don't accept it lahalacha, Rabbeinu HaKadosh did not feel that it is correct, or it's already included. There is another statement in the Mishnah that already encompasses, captures the essence of what it says in the Braisa. One of the major goals of Rabbeinu HaKadosh was to produce a collection of Torah Shebaal Peh that was concise, that was extremely as concise as it could possibly be. Because in those days, they still memorized the Mishnayos, and people had to have an easy way to memorize. If you're going to make it too large, then people are not going to be able to memorize it. Had to be concise. So there were many brises that were just not included because they were superfluous. They could have been summarized in less words, or maybe some of the things that it said in the brisa, Rabbeinu HaKadosh felt that this is not correct in the world of halacha. Although it may be in concept, they're very beautiful concepts, but you also try to produce a halachic work. The Mishnayis, to a very large degree, is a halachic work. And if it's not accepted halacha, so it's not included. Okay, so that's why they're called Baraisois, based on the word bara, and that's what it's called b'chutz. B'chutz. Okay, it's on the outside, in the street. What's the Aramaic translation of the word chutz? It means the bara, on the outside. Taskel charba. The sword is taskel. What's taskel means? Bereavement. Okay, we'll see that in a few moments when we look at the commentators. Charba. Umi tavonaya. I guess that word means in the inner chambers. We have to study that in a moment. There's going to be chargas mosa. What's the word chargas? I don't know. I guess it means terror. Ema of death. We'll see more in a moment. Af also ule mehoin. That's an easy word. Not necessarily in alum. Ayin lamed man means a young lad. A young lad, which we're calling a bachur. There are many different words in English vocabulary. There are many different words to describe minors. There's a minor, a toddler, adolescent, an infant. What are the other words? Baby. You have a baby, a toddler. Let's say you have a baby, an infant, toddler. What else? Adolescent, teenager, a tween. You ever hear that expression? That's a new expression. A tween. What's a tween? What's a tween? I don't even know what it is anymore. I forgot what it means. It's a very popular word, I think, they use today to describe a certain age group. A tween, a young man. Okay, so there are many different words in the English language which have a connotation describing a different stage in the life of a young person. What about in Hebrew language? There are many words as well. There's a bachur. There is a yeled. Hayeled einenu. Va'ani ono aniva. How old was Yosef when Yehuda said, Hayeled einenu? The yeled is einenu. Va'ani ono aniva. Yehuda was very frightened. How am I going to go back to my father and tell him that your son disappeared? Send out an Amber Alert, a missing Yeled. How old was Yosef at that time? 17 years old. would you today call a 17-year-old today Yeled? Be insulted. Okay, Habein Yaker Li Ephraim im Yeled Sha'ashu'im. Yeled. Who is the Yeled Ephraim? Who is Ephraim? Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is called the Yeled? Well, I guess in one respect, it all depends what your intent is. So over here it says with Bachur. There's a Yeled, there's a Bachur, there's an Ish, there is a Godol. What else do we have? Okay, there are many different words. I don't know. We have the Aramaic words. There is an alum. Am I saying that correctly? An alum or an ulam? No, an ulam. In ulam with an ayin. In ulam means a youth. A youth. Okay, that's another English word. A youth. They don't use that today. That's like the old English. Old English. A youth. You never heard that word today. A minor. Okay, yeah, in English we have another word of a minor. A minor, a youth, maybe in some of the laws, you know, in the state constitution, they still have those words because they were written 100 years ago. But in this passage over here, it says with Gam Bochur, and the translation is in Ule Mehoin, Af U Bochur and the Besula. What's the Besula? Af Ule Moshoin. Okay, the only difference between a male and a female is a saf. A male is ule mehoin, and a female is ule mosoin. Yon kehoin means a yoinek. Okay, another word, a yoinek, which means someone who's nursing. Okay, someone who's nursing, l'chol, that means they are below the age of a... What happened over here? The gladders disappeared. Okay, they are below the age of, you know, yoinik, ule mosoin, yon kehoin, im sa vehoin, with the elders. Okay, now let's see the commentator over here. There are certainly going to be some very fascinating chidushim to understand what this means over here. Okay, the first word he said over here is the word taskel. Taskel means tishkal. The nikrates, it's called Techeles Hashem Shiku Bechoyos Mitzrayim. Okay, so he's quoting over here Rashi. He's quoting here Rashi in the parish of Tzitzis. Okay, this is Rashi. Not everyone who knows this Rashi. Rashi says, why do we wear Techeles? What is Techeles? Blue. Tzitzis that are blue. Okay, so yeah, you get the Zina Techeles. You get the Techeles from the Murex, Trunculus Techeles. Why is it called Techeles? What is the etymology? Where does it come from, the word Techeles? Techeles, in our vocabulary, means blue tzitzis. So Rashi the Chumash says Techeles, lashon of shikul, bereavement, death. The death especially of children. The focus, death of children. And where does it come from? It comes from Yitzias Mitzrayim. When Hashem took us out of Egypt, Hashem slayed the firstborns, the Bechor. The Bechor, the firstborns of the Egyptians. So when we're Techeles, we're supposed to think that Hashem brought Shikul Bonim, bereavement, upon the Egyptians by having them suffer the death of their firstborn child. So the Techeles, yeah, it's blue. But what does the word Techeles mean? It means Shikul Bonim. As a way of reminding us of Makas Bechoris. So that's what's over here. The word over here is Taskil. Taskil is like the lashon of Tishokel. He quotes that Rashi, and that's what he says. All right, fine. So that means Shikul Bonim. Okay, so it really means Bechus the Shakel. Why is the word Shikul? Because who goes out to the battlefield? Children. Who are the soldiers? They don't take to the battlefield the Zakenim. They send to the battlefield young people. People who are healthy, young, agile in their youth. So, and many of the people who go to battle have parents that are alive. So if, God forbid, a soldier dies, It's not just someone died. It's called Shikul Banim. Because the people who are fighting in the battlefield, the young people have parents, so their parents have to suffer bereavement over the loss of their children. You know, in Ukraine, I read yesterday that, I don't know if anything is, I don't know what's true, what's not true. They write there that already 200,000 people were killed in battle. I don't know if that means on the Ukrainian side, the Russian side, both together. That's what it says in the news. Is that true or not? 200,000 people are dead. For what? What are they fighting over? What are they fighting over? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I remember when this whole first they asked Biden, is there going to be a war? And Biden says, I think so. I think there will be a war. Putin, he wants to go to war. And I remember there was a Hasidic guy over here, and he said, he's mamish begging him to go to war. What is he, crazy? That's how he talks? The president says something like that? The reporters ask him, is there going to be a war? I think so, yes. There's going to be a war. Putin, he wants to go to war, yes. The way he made it sound like, is like he's like mamish begging him to go to war. And then he said to me, you're going to see, it's not going to happen. He's trying to pressure him, you know, to call his bluff. And he said to me, and you're going to see Biden's going to go down as the greatest president this country ever had. Because he's calling his bluff, and he's not. And you know what happened? They went to war. And now what happened now, a year later, 2 years, whatever it is, 200,000 people are dead for what? It's not much mind-boggling. I don't understand. I don't even understand what they're fighting about. Land? It seems most of the people there want to become part of Russia. So what are they fighting about? I don't know. I must be missing something big. They're going to come after for Poland next? Really? They go into Ukraine, they're going to go to Poland? I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? No, nothing. But this is a very scary word, and this word is used specifically in war, because young people die in war, and it leads to this thing called Shikul Banim. The next word over here is the chadorim. What is the chadorim? So it said the Targum means umitavonayo. That's a hard word. What does that mean? Mechadorim. Cheder becheder. Tavon begoy tavon. The Gemara betavoni the liba. The cheder haleif. So he says over here, basically what it means over here is, the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel says it is a chamber within a chamber. It's not just inside. You don't just go inside. You have to go inside and then go inside again. That's where there's going to be Ema. Now this is very interesting. You know why? Because there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch that when you come to a Beis HaKnesses, you have to go into two gateways. There's a halacha that the shul is supposed to have a gate within a gate. When you build a Beis HaKnesses, there's supposed to be, you don't just walk in off the street. You're walking off the street into an antechamber, and then you go further into a sanctuary. Like in the Beis HaMikdash, there was the Ulam. The Ulam, you go first, you come into the Ulam, which was a long, narrow, wide, like a lobby almost, and then from there you go into the Heichal. Okay, today, in the way the world is built today, I mean everything today, you know, there's a lobby. It's probably illegal to build a structure today if you don't have a lobby. I don't know what the codes are. One place doesn't have a lobby though. You know, it's very strange. Is there a Weinfeld shul? Did you ever go to a Weinfeld shul on Avenue L in East 22nd Street? I always found it very strange. There's no lobby there. You go mamish from the street. Mamish from the street, you go into the shul. Very strange, right? They have like some place for the coats on the left and the right, the face, the different place, but like there's an entrance. And I've noticed recently that outside the shul they built, like you see by the restaurants, outside the restaurant, outside they put like this like temporary structure, which really becomes part of the restaurant to prevent, you know, wind from blowing inside. So they built something pretty significant outside the shul. So you have two entrances. So over here, interestingly, you come into shul. Over here it says umechadorim ema aremes. What do you do in the Beis HaKnesses? The Beis HaKnesses is supposed to be the emas hamakom, yiras haroimus. You're coming before Kodesh Baruch Hu. In a shul, it's built. There's a cheder within a cheder. And here in this pasuk it says umechadorim ema. The word mechadorim is a lashon rabim, and the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says a cheder. Cheder, his words are a double cheder, cheder becheder. Over here we have a different word, umita vonaya. It means inside. All right, whatever that means. There's the chargas mosa emas mosa. This word chargas means terror. By yachru mimiskur osem, it means sarchin shlatigim losh nakosim emosa. Why do you use this word? Kedel v'yeshob kedel radak sheperish. What was it? Radak says sheperish v'yachru. I think what it means over here is v'yachrigu means, it means shaking. Okay, there are different types of fear. There's a fear when, okay, you're afraid. Keep it to yourself. I'm afraid. And you stand still. And then there's a time when a person is so terrified, he can't control himself. His body shakes. For example, Yitzchak. Vayechrad Yitzchak charado gedoyla ad me'od. And then the Targum says, I don't remember what he says, but he says something to the effect that he shook. When a person is overcome with an intense fear, it triggers an uncontrollable shaking of the body. So over here in this commentary, he asks the question, why does it say umechadorim ema? It should say the Aramaic word emosa. The word ema is translated by the Targum himself elsewhere as emosa. Why here is he translating the word emosa to mean the word, with the word of chargas? So he says here in the comment, the commentator explains, if I'm saying correctly, it's based on the context of this pasuk, that it doesn't just say there's fear, it says the fear is in within of within. The fact that the word ema is connected to the word umechadorim ema, umechadorim ema, so that indicates that it's a different type of fear. Now, I'm just thinking out loud with you. It says by Yitzchak, Vayecherad Yitzchak, Charodo Gedoyla Ad Me'od. Maybe what he means to say is Mechadorim Eimo. Who says the word Mechadorim means a chamber inside? Maybe the word Mechadorim Eimo, the word Mechadorim means Charodo, terror. And there are two words here that go together. And when it says mechutz, outside, there is the shakel cheref and there is terror. Who says the word mechadorim, according to the Targum, means indoors? Rashi quoted three perushim that the word chadorim means inside. And why do Rashi have to comment? We believe in this principle here, which I don't know if people I tell this to them, they look at me like I'm from Mars, that I tell them that Rashi wrote a sefer on the Targum. They all tell me, out of your mind. I tell them, they're out of their mind. No. Maybe over here there's a machlokes, Rashi, and Onkelos. And Onkelos is telling us there is no inside. The word chadorim has the same shurish as charodo. And when it's used in connection with the word ema, it certainly means terror. And the proof is the Targum doesn't say the classic word of emosa, but he says a funny word called, a word called umitavonayo chargasmosa. Now the truth is, it says umita vo nayo. What does that word mean? Umitov anaya means inside. Okay, so you can't say what I said. What I said cannot be the pshat in the Targum, because the Targum seems to say umitov anaya means inside there is chargas maisa, there is the terror of fear. He does use a different word than we would expect, but maybe it means like the radak. Maybe the radak taka says this shesh vayachregu tenua sapachat. Ve'akavona ala pachat shebelev. So I think that's what he says. Ulai tirgem musa al das shapir shamalbim. Okay, so I think what I told you now is we have to go look in the Radak, is what the Radak says. The Radak seems to say the word mechadorim ema does not mean inside the heart, does not mean inside the room, means umechadorim ema, there is a charoda of ema, a shaking. a shaking of fear where? Outside, on the battlefield. Michuz teshakel cherev. Outside on the battlefield there is death, and everyone else who is still alive and fighting the battle, umechadorim ema, they are shaking in terror over what is the bombs that are dropping around them. Okay, it's a whole new pshat. And, you know, it explains it. It's a whole different mahalach. Rashi steered clear from that. Unkelus, I mean, we have a problem here. He says one hand, umitavonaya, which means inside, there is chargas, the terror of moisav, death. Why did he say the word chargas? It means like a terror where you shake. All right, we'll leave it with that. The next words are the children. It's the ule mehoin, the bochor and the basula. The ule mehoin and ule mosoin, loshen elem. Elem va'alma. Elem means a youth. A youth and a young woman. Vishinu tagim loshen rabim. Here he goes to his favorite topic over here on plural. Plural and singular. Next, yon kehoin, the children. The yonik near shetigim lufi amila yonik shemikra. A yoinik, what is a yoinik? A child that is nursing. How old do children nurse for? I don't know what goes on today. I don't think today they nurse very long. I don't know. But in the time of Chazal, it says that a child would nurse up to 2 years of age. There was no food. There was no formula. There was no sophisticated food technology. So children would nurse until 2 years. Vayas Avraham Mishte Godol Biyoim Hi Gomel Es Yitzchak. Rashi there says 2 years old. So a yoinek means a child until 2 years old. He says over here, not necessarily. The word yoinek can also mean be the equivalent of the word na'ar. Now the word na'ar, what does that mean? There's a yeled, a yoinek, a bochur, there is a katan, gadol. What is a nar? Yoshua benun nar, lo yomush mitoycha oyel. It says that Yoshua benun was a nar. What does that mean? He's a nar. So I once, long time ago, read it, learned in one of the Sfarim I have, made a calculation that he was something like 90 years old. Or couldn't be. Maybe 70 years old. Something like that. 70 years old. He's still called a nar. Okay? Yeah, but we are called Hanorim. Simchas Torah. Mayor, who do they give Kol Hanorim to at Simchas Torah? Kol Hanorim. So they know, they give it, who makes the bracha? They mechabit someone to make the bracha. He's also a nar. A nar. How old is he? Well, Yoshua ben Nun is called a nar. I think he was 70 years old when he was called a nar. Maybe he was even 80 years old. So the word nar can be much older. And the best joke in Simchas Torah is you give a chosin Torah, chosin Bereshis. So ordinarily, who do you give chosin Torah to? To the biggest Talmud Chacham. give, you know, you give it to the biggest Talmud Chacham in Shul, gets Chasam Torah. The Rav, sometimes they give it to another person, a big Talmud Chacham, a Grois Talmud Chacham. Amal, in some shuls, they give Chasam Torah to, you know, one of the Balabatim, to an Am Ha'aretz who pays a lot of money. Right? So the guy, I remember, he once gave Chasam Torah to Shul to a Balabas. He wasn't a Talmud Chacham. And he knew it. So he said to the rabbi, "Rabbi, it's a Chasam Torah. Chasam Torah. Don't be upset that I got Chasam Torah. This is a chassidisha. I'm like a chassidisha chassam. The chassidim, they don't see the kala. Who's the kala on Simchas Torah? The Torah is the kala. The Torah is the kala. I'm a chassidisha chassam. I never saw the Torah. I never learned one word. I don't know anything about the Torah. And I'm the chassam Torah. A chassidisha chassam. Who doesn't see the kala? As long as I got the money, I get it. But the litvaks, so there the chassan has to, you know, he has to know the kala. So why then is he called a chassan? No good kasha. Any event over here, it's over here. It says yoneg. What is the yoneg? Ule mechon and ule mosain. Elav alma v'shinel dagim b'loshen ravim mila b'bocha b'sul yoneg yisiva k'darkoi. Kishimitagim Shemus Klolim, okay, Yone Koin Nira Shatigal of Yamil Yonek Shrika Aval Yitokan Shakamasa Nah. Loshna Kosov, Bakurim Gamslus Zakanim im the Odim. It's a tremendous Kiddush. He wants to overhear, so I want to overhear that it means over the Nadoi means Yonek and Yiseva, but Yonek, it doesn't mean a Yonek. Why not? Why would you want to do that? Because he cites a parallel Pasuk where there it says, a nar. So he suggests that when it says a bochor in Gamasula, a yoinek really means a nar. Why do you want it? It says yoinek. I don't know why you're trying to do that. The Targum over here says beferish yon kehoin. Why are you trying to say that it means a nar when the pasuk says yoinek and it says yoinek? All right, we learned at least something over here, at least one pasuk, things that I would never know. Thank you for learning with me, everybody. So have a wonderful night. Be well.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You spoke to Shpindman yet?
No, I just got you. I have to. I'm not in the tour. I'm going to talk to his Gabai. I'll get back to you tonight. I'll get back to you soon, okay? Let me find out what's going on here. Okay?
All right.
All right. Good night. Thank you for coming, Blazer.
Good night.